greetings, everyone. This is Pastor Buddy. Welcome in here tonight with us to the Shepherd's Call. We're glad to have you joining us in our Bible study tonight. We're going to get into a very interesting message here tonight. The title of tonight's message, by the grace of the Mighty One, is entitled, The Little Book. I want to take a look into the little book. I hope you're there. Have you ever really wondered if you were? In this book, it's called a little book. Wonder why it's called a little book. Well, let me give you a scripture to actually get your thinking apparatus in high gear. Time is short. Yahweh is at the door, coming back in flame and fire, taking vengeance on them that are not in the little book. The Bible said, straight is the way and there's a gate, and a few there be thereon. Now, does that answer your question? Why a little book? My people are the fewest people upon the earth. And that's what the man said that had the little book. Well, we're going to Revelation chapter 10 to start our text foundation tonight to talk about the little book. And I hope and trust and pray in a most prayerful way that we have something in the information highway to bless you, to anoint you, to actually encourage you to seek the one that has the book in his hand. Revelation 10 and 2. And he had in his hand a little book open. Wonder what he was doing. And he set his right foot upon the sea and his left foot on the earth. My, what a mighty one. The right foot went upon the sea and the left foot upon the earth. Now, you really know what the sea represents. That's a large body of water. Of course, we know that there are several oceans and several seas upon the earth. Well, to spiritually upgrade that to your spiritual mind, because the Bible also said that we were sheep, that he came to search for his sheep. This was using metaphoric agricultural items here to compare, because he said, you're more valuable than a sheep, when he got through with his parable. Meaning that he wasn't talking about a natural sheep. He was talking about those that had the characteristics and the nature of a sheep. We're going to talk about that tonight and how to get in the book. Oh, I'm sorry. I shouldn't have said that. You can't get in the book. He said, well, Pastor Buddy, I went down to the altar and glory to God, and I was born again. You can't be born again. There's no such thing as being born again. That's a misquotation in the Bible. You must be born from above, and your name must be on the Lamb's book from the foundation of the world. Now, that settles it. Well, you say, well, why then did preachers use these certain tactics to get me saved? Well, the Bible said they will compass land and sea to make a proselyte. When they do, they make him triple more the child of hell than he was to begin with. And you see, ladies and gentlemen, there is a famine in the land, to be quite honest. And not for bread or water, but for hearing the word, the truth of the word. I'm telling you that we have been lulled to sleep, rocked to sleep, by wolves in sheep's clothing. Remember, the scripture says in 2 Corinthians in chapter 11, marvel not, for Satan himself has transformed himself into a minister or an angel of light, and no marvel, for his ministers themselves have been converted. His ministers, his ministering spirits, they have robed themselves in flesh bodies. Yes, they've incarnated into the earth. They're literal demons. And yet they appear righteous. So how in the world could they do that? It's a piece of cake for them. I mean, they're trained and instructed by Satan himself, who is the master deceptor, translator, and the things of this nature. Oh, he had a little book. Are you in the little book? The straight way book? The narrow way book? The few book? Oh, no, Pastor Buddy, I belong to the biggest church in the world. Oh, how we take pride in stained glass windows and mortar and brick and pomp ritual and styles and profiling. And showboat. Man, how we like to be at the biggest and the best. How we like to have our ears tickled. You say, Pastor Buddy, you preach so hard and you never give me a break. Give me a break. Well, I got to break you before you can get a break. If you refuse to be broken and the rock falls on you, and remember, the Bible says that the little hand that was seen in the mountain, it cut away a stone. And this stone was the great magnanimous, magnificent, majestic, all-powerful, all-righteous, all-holy, all-wonderful name of the mighty God, the everlasting Father, and the Prince of Peace. This name was cut out in the mountain of Bethel. You can see it there today by satellite imagery, a photo taken 575 miles up in space. It shows you the name of our Creator written in Aramaic Hebrew, the very language he spoke 2,000 years ago. And it's written in Bethlehem Ephrathah. Sorry, not Bethlehem Judea. His name is not over in Judea. About 30 miles down south, where this name is written in the mountains of Bethel, Ephrathah. This is the birthright territory of the master who has a book. And on this book is the names of the 12 tribes of Israel. And there's 12 gates into the holy city that's going to come down from God, called New Jerusalem in the last day, when Isaiah 66 verse 22 through 24 is fulfilled, you'll see a new kingdom and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness, and you'll see the righteous treading on the ashes of those that said, Lord, haven't we done many wonderful works in your name? And he will say, depart from me, you workers of iniquity, I never knew you. Do you know the Bible says there's a way that seemeth right? Have you investigated the Lamb's Book of Life? You say, well, the way you talk, Pastor, but it don't do me no good. If it's there, it's there. If it ain't, it ain't. Well, that's exactly right. If your name is not on the Lamb's Book from the foundation of the world, you can forget going to heaven because you ain't going to make it. Or you're not going to make the new kingdom age. You just ain't going to make it. You say, well, that's terrible and that's awful. And God loves everybody. God so loved the world. There's again, that scripture's not found in the original text. You see, we have been brainwashed into thinking that God is a universal humanist God. When you read the scriptures, you'll find out quite different, both Old and New Testament. The man that talked about his mission to the earth, listen, John 10:26, you believe not, because you're not of my sheep, as I said unto you. John 10:27, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them. When did he know them? Before the foundation of the world, he had the ability to write their name in the little book. He said, well, my name's on the book, ain't got no problem. Don't go there yet. Listen to me. If your name is not blotted out of the little book, you'll go there. You see, he's trying his sons and his daughters to see if they are willing to suffer to reign with him. If they compromise, if they lack luxury, if they lack pleasures of sin, Do you remember all those that turned back? And the Bible said he that puts his hand to the plow and looks back is not fit for the kingdom of God. Do you remember those wicked servants who would not that he should rule over them? Remember the man that had the talent and buried it and wouldn't use it? Remember them that did run well and was hindered? Remember them that fell among the thorns and were choked because of the deceitfulness of riches and the cares of this world? Remember them that fell upon stony ground, that did not care, just haphazardly made their election and calling haphazardly, sure. The Bible said, examine yourself and see whether you be in the faith or not. You see, you've got a lot of work to do, ladies and gentlemen. You must fast, you must pray, you must seek God, you must ask, and you must run the race, because you have to obtain the prize. And the prize is, if you continue to the end, my sheep are my voice, and they'll follow me. What about them that look back? What about them that turn back? The Bible said that many followed him in the New Testament. But when he began to bring the hard sayings, when he began to bring the fundamental doctrine, not of the bell box world, but the doctrine of eternal life and salvation and grace and truth. Remember, the Bible says that charity suffers long and rejoices in the truth. It is kind, not puffed up. Well, you say, well, I thought it was given. I gave a fortune to the church down there, glory to God, and I brought 5 seats and put my name on the back. And every time people walk in there, they think about me. You see, that's your way of thinking that your charitable works will get you to heaven, and it won't. Did you know that the charity that he's talking about is not given? Charity is receiving the engrafted word which is able to save you if you continue in the things that are written in the book. John 10:28, I give them eternal life and they shall never perish, and neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. Are you in the book? Have you searched the book? Have you prayed that your name's on the Lamb's book? Have you endeavored to keep your name on the book? Remember, the Bible said, I will blot your name out of the book. That's why you got the book open. And the Bible said, choose this day who you will serve. If you're ashamed of him, he's certainly going to be ashamed of you. What about the teachings of the apostolic fathers? Were they related to the prophets of old? Or did we change in the middle of the stream? Ladies and gentlemen, he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He gave us a set of schoolmaster principles that remain effective even today as we go forth to prove ourselves and to choose and to continue and fight the good fight of faith and to lay hold on eternal life. Yes, there's eternal life, but you've got to lay hold on it. You've got to guard it. You've got to preserve it. You can't go out and bury it and take it for granted, cast the truth to the ground, and prosper with the world. It's not a cream puff way. It's not a primrose path. It is a narrow, hard path with a hard saying, and who can hear it? You know what Noah did in the 8th chapter of the book of Genesis when he went through that horrible ordeal of 150 days? Not knowing, but the Bible said he moved by faith. Not knowing his end, but he held on. And then when the dry land appeared, you know what the first thing he'd done? He didn't run down to the church and pay tithes. He went down and built him an altar, an old-fashioned altar, a line true north to the Father's purposes, and that king got on it. And that king called on the mighty name of Yod-Heh-Vah-He. And that king was heard in heaven, and Yahweh gave him a covenant promise, I will never again destroy my people through a flood. That was water. Now the next thing that's coming is fire. It's the fire test. You thought water was tough? It just got tougher. But when the going gets tough, the tough get going. Are you ready? Are you able? Have you searched the book? Are you sure that this book is part of your being? Do you have a love? Do you want to go to heaven? Do you desire to go to heaven? Have you prayed to go to heaven? Have you sought to go to heaven? And you know what, ladies and gentlemen, you're not going to have very far to go. I'll prove that to you in the 21st chapter of the book of Revelation, then the 22nd chapter of the book of Revelation, and the 21st chapter of the book of Revelation, chapter 21:12, verse 12. It says that there's 12 gates, and this is the holy city that John saw, not going away from us, but coming to us. You see, heaven is within you. And heaven is state of being. And if your name is on the Lamb's book and hadn't been removed, you're going to be one of those of the 12 tribes whose names are even embedded in the walls as a double witnesses. And the Bible says to prove all things in the mouth of two or three witnesses. You've got a little book, and in this book, your name written. If you are one of the lost sheep or one of the sheep of the house of Israel, true house, you've got your name on that book. And you got your name in the wall, and the 12 angels standing at the 12 gates will give you a gate check. And this city is in the shape of a celestial altar in heaven that is coming to the earth. True aligned. Did you know the north gate of this is the gate of Dan? Did you know the south gate is the gate of Reuben? Did you know that the west gate is the gate of the birthright son, Yosef? Did you know that the east gate is the house of Yehuda? And the three tribes within? And that this is a genuine covenant that the Father has prepared from the foundation of the world and swore it in a covenant of redemption that he would not leave his soul and the soul of his people in hell, and neither would it see corruption. Ladies and gentlemen, we are in the trying times of truth. And we have been so brainwashed, so changed to what truth is. We have been comfortably shifted into a seem-right way, and a way that Satan has devised that seems right, and then he's deceiving even almost, if possible, the very elect. Now, this great altar that we're going to have in the four square city, you'll find that encoded in the book of Numbers, chapter 2, where Yahweh gave this instruction to Moses and Aaron, the Aaronic priesthood, to develop a systematic altar that Israel could be a living entity upon the earth or a living temple functioning as a unit, a cohesive oneness unit upon the earth. And this altar was designed in the constellations with the 12 gates, with the 12 angels, and these are the 12 tribes of the house of Israel with their angel given charge over them, for our angels always behold the face of the Father that sits upon the throne. He said, I didn't know he was set upon the throne, Pastor Buddy. Well, he does. Let's go to Revelation 5:1. Now, let me give you the correct Greek rendering here. I'm not going to give you the English rendering of this that is not correct. And I saw in the right hand of him that sat upon the throne a book. Listen, written within. And on the backside of this little book that was written within, there's the names of the 12 tribes. You'll find embedded in the 12 walls of the double witness. In Revelation 21, verse 12, with a confirmation of the book of Revelation 22:16. Ladies and gentlemen, your name is not on the Lamb's book from the foundation of the world. You are not invited to the great homecoming event on planet Earth. After the wicked are wiped out, after they're totally destructed in flame and fire, there's going to be internal combustion automatically through the upshift of the dimensional shift. It will happen simultaneously all over the Earth. At the particular moment, all of the wicked, all of those whose names are not written in the Lamb's Book of Life, will burn up and perish as ash and fall in their places upon the earth. Well, you say, well, I'm going to go into a bunker, Pastor Buddy. I work for the U.S. government. I work for the Russian government. I work for the British Crown. I'm a big dude. I'm a big wheel. We're going to tunnel into there, and we're going to hide, and nobody's going to find us in the time of his wrath. Thou fool, knowest not that the eye that runs to and fro through the earth will search you out, and if you make your bed in hell, he'll find you. And if you make your nest in the stars, he will cast you down. And if you make your bed with the moles and the bats and the caves and the dens and the bunkers and the underground tunnels of the earth, he will root you out. And you will, as the scripture indicate, you will pray for the rocks and the mountains, and that day is nigh, even at the door. How are you in the book? Has your name been blotted out? Have you crossed the dividing line of blasphemy in the Holy Spirit? Have you refused to take the ancient codes of doctrinal worship? You say, well, Pastor Buddy, if I did, everybody'd laugh at me. Now, if I go down to the first this and the second that, and I sit on those pews and park my brain in the foyer, put my feet up on the back of the bench, and snoozy-loozy, and listen to the smooth speech and enticing words of man's witness, I'll be all right, because they promised me liberty. You know the Bible said, by promising you liberty, they themselves are servants of corruption. Come out of her, my people, while you still have got a chance to make your election and call in sure. And I heard a voice, which I heard from heaven speaking to me again, and said, go and take the little book. Oh, it's a cream puff way. Oh, yeah? Which is open in the hand of the angel, which standeth upon the sea of the earth. And I went unto the angel, and he said unto me, give, and I said unto him, give me the little book. We're talking about the little book tonight. You ever had it in your hand? Is it in your heart? Is it written within? Is your name there? Was it there from the foundation of the world? You said, well, I went down to the church, and they gave me a little a church membership acceptance card. What right did they have to do that? Where's it written in the Bible that you get a membership card and you go to church your choice and whatever you are, be a good one, or just come as you are, just as I am? Anything that you can chase, drag, pull, or push into the churches, they'll save the hell out of it. Or at least they say they do. But the scriptures indicate that they might just actually fill that temple with the hell, worse hell, 3-4 more hell than it was to begin with. As they compass land and sea to make one cross line, when they make him 2-4, 3-4, or 4-4 more the child of hell than he was to begin with. You see, ladies and gentlemen, the natural brute beasts that are upon the earth, and you say, I didn't know there was any. No, you saved them all. They're in your churches. They're there converted into ministers of righteousness. You gave them the pulpit. You have not examined their doctrine. You've not proved all things. You're not crying aloud and sparing not. Are you willing and able to have the intestinal fortitude and the guts to take the biblical spiritual test to see whether you're in the faith? Does something offend you, you poor, wretched, miserable, lukewarm, perverted, ear-tickling, poor little, miserable Christian, as you sit there in your see to do nothing with your wife ruling over your family and over you with your Easter bonnet parades, with your Christmas attire, with your Santa Claus lies, with your false Sabbaths, your false altars and these have erected in brick and mortar when there's no scripture whatsoever. Even the Messiah passed up a 42-year-old building with a magnificent altar on it, but he knew what was on the altar. What was on it? A lie. L-I-E. There was no Ark of the Covenant on that altar when he ripped the veil, the 10-foot veil, the 10 lost tribes as a symbol. When he ripped it from the top down with a mighty spirit of God, he had a book there. He was taking note. With no Ark of the Covenant there, they had poured the blood upon the meat sacrifice of Luke chapter 13:1. They weren't using the blood to pour it upon the Ark of the Testament because there was no Ark there. It had departed. Ichabod. Glory to God. I feel the anointing of the mighty Shekinah of the Yod He Vah He upon my life tonight as a living witness that soon and very soon the book is going to be open. And another book. These are the hundreds of books that have been written as a testament and a witness. And if all the books that have been written should have been written, even the world itself could not contain the books that should have been written about that little book that is written with the names of the 12 tribes of the children of Israel and whosoever was found written in that book. At the end, that had not been blotted out. You see, your objective is to make sure your name remains and is not blotted out. I'm telling you, people don't recognize the true worship of Yahweh. They've been so converted into Catholicism. With crackers and grape juice, they've left out the Passover and the rituals that Yahweh demanded to teach the children of Israel and the children themselves of what great sacrifice that Lamb of God did for the children of Israel who carried the book. And that's the Lamb's book. As he comes seeking his sheep, and he said, I know my sheep, and my sheep know me. I am not of this world. We are strangers and pilgrims. And if you get comfortable in this world, if the world has afforded you the comforts and the pleasures, if you don't make it hard on yourself, Yahweh will make it hard on you in the end. It'd be better for you not to know the way and know it and turn back, give up, get cold, or bail out because you don't understand the doctrinal aspects of the teachings of the great, magnanimous Book of Life teachings. And the Bible said that he would be such a strange doctrine that you wouldn't believe it though a man declared unto you. The Book of Life from the foundation of the world. And the beast that thou sawest was and is not and shall ascend out of the bottomless pit and shall go into perdition, and they that dwell on the earth shall wonder, whose names were not written in the book of life from the foundation of the world. Ladies and gentlemen, it's very important for you to check the little book. If not, your name is not in there and it's been blotted out. You'll worship Satan. That's what it says here. All that dwell upon the earth shall worship Satan. All that dwell upon the earth. I can't emphasize this enough. Make your election and calling sure. All that dwell upon the earth shall worship Satan in a false way, whose names are not written in the book of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. And I saw the dead, Revelations 20 and 12. I saw the dead, small and great, stand before the mighty Eternal One, and the books were opened. And another book, the books is the Bibles, the books of the Bibles, the true books. Search it. For wherein you think you have eternal life, you have none. You want to practice and perform tradition, something you've been taught out of the 23rd chapter of some man's imagination, or a seem right way? No wonder they said they cast the truth to the ground, because when you hear the truth, it'll be so unbelievable to you because of your tradition. And such a lull in your brain. You've parked your brain so far into tradition that it can't recover and bring itself back to reality of the hard gospel. And the Bible said it is a hard saying, and who can hear it? I hope somebody's hearing me tonight. I hope somebody loves the truth good enough to put on the whole armor. I hope somebody will search the book. I hope somebody will pray to the Creator tonight. Revelation 20:12, I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were open, and another book was opened, which is the book of life, which he had in his hand, which he set on the throne. He's looking through that book tonight. He's looking for you. Are you there? When the book is open, is your name going to remain, or is it going to be blotted out, even if it was there? You see, all Israel is going to be saved, but all Israel's not Israel. Who were those that turned back? Who were those that were unfit? Who was those that fell among the thorns? Who was those that fell among the stones? That couldn't endure, couldn't hold out, because the persecution has cured this life and the deceitfulness of riches that hindered them. You ran well. What hindered you? Oh, you started out on fire. I'm telling you, this will get a lot harder, and the doctrine will get a lot stronger before you'll ever be able to endure. Famine in the land, not for bread and water, but for hearing the word of Yahweh and its true foundation. The doctrine has become so strange to the ears of those pagan Christians that have worshipped in an idolatry, fornication, and stupidity, and ignorance, and unbelief. Oh, I've got to have that air conditioner on, Pastor. But I just lose my breath. I mean, if it's hot in that church, I ain't going, Lord God. I'm gonna take my oxygen tank anyway. I mean, pack cigarettes you smoke. Well, a freight train couldn't probably haul them. That's the reason you're on oxygen? Because you want to smoke filthy cigarettes and shorten your days on the planet to where you can't even enjoy taking a good breath of now polluted air? It's about almost dangerous to go outside and breathe the air now. Ladies and gentlemen, let's clean up our bodies. Let's get holy. Let's get dedicated. Let's get obligated to the book. And make sure election and calling. I saw the dead. The book was opened, which is the book of life. Oh, my heavens. Revelation 20:15. And whosoever was found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Did I read that right? And whosoever was found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Yep. Can you be baptized with a baptism of fire that I'm baptized in? Can you take the heat? Or are you going to get out of the kitchen and fold up your little tin, get your syrup bucket and go home? Like some little mumbling, complaining baby that's not been weaned from the bottle of milk. You need to get you some meat. It should be lamb on Passover. You should eat that meal and see how the lamb is killed and what a tremendous message it displays and conveys to those who knew the compassion and the suffering of our Messiah, the Lamb of God, slain from the foundation of the world. And do this and remember me for a continuous memorial generation through generation. Oh, it went out under the law, Pastor. Glory to God, we don't do that no more. Well, what do you do?
Well, we go to the church and I don't know where other churches do or not, but we set the foot pans in the floor, glory to God, and then we wash feet, and then we take the Lord's Supper.
Oh, my heavens above. That wasn't Yahweh's Passover supper. Where are you coming from with that ignorance? What turnip truck have you just fell off of? Have you not read the scriptures? I dare you.
Say, well, it says in the book of John that he washed your feet, glory to God. After he rose from the supper.
then he took the cup. Have you rose from supper? You sure that was a Passover meal? Have you read that? Why don't you go back to John 13:1 and just take a look and see if it was a Passover meal? You might be pleasantly surprised if you're in the truth. If you're not, you probably will be very disappointed because you thought it read a certain way, and you need to go back to John 13:1 and take a new look at what it says there and obey what it says to keep the Passover. Not a preparation meal. Preparation meal's okay. But you need to keep the Passover, and that's for sure. Revelations 20:15. Now let me read it right. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. But you see, those that went through the fire down here, our fire is here. Our hell is here. We gotta go through hell to get to heaven. If you can't take the baptism of fire, and you surrender and give up and turn back and deny him. Did you know what the Bible says? Whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Yeah, you're going to go through hell. You're going to endure some fire. I'm under fire 7 days a week, ladies and gentlemen. I take it on the chin, seven up, seven and seven down. When you preach the gospel, you're not going to be loved and appreciated. But by a precious few. Every time I go to the mailbox and open a letter, from one of the brothers or sisters that supports my ministry and encourages me. There's tears literally flood up in my eye, and I go out to my little altar. I take those letters and those cards, and I pray over them, and I thank my Heavenly Father that there's a few good sheep out there that wants the truth, that wants to inquire and to search the book of life. Revelation 21:27. And thou shalt in no wise enter into the city anything that defileth, neither whatsoever worketh abomination or maketh a lie, but they which are written in the Lamb's book of life. Ladies and gentlemen, your name will be checked at the gate. Make your election and calling sure. And remember this. Revelations 22:7, Behold, I come quickly. Blessed is he that keepeth the sayings of the prophecy of this book. I come quickly. He's coming. And flame and fire, taking vengeance. He's not going to come back riding a little donkey. He's not going to be slapped around. He's not going to be killed by the Jews. He's going to come back as the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and he's going to have a sword in his hand, and he's going to take vengeance on them that obey not the gospel, and those wicked servants would not let him rule over them. He's going to slay them before him, and then the angels are going to gather out all the tares and those that offend, and whosoever that loveth will make up a lie, whosoever worketh abomination, he's going to cast them into the lake of fire. There's going to be quick, instantaneous, internal combustion of fire. It's going to break out. It's going to burn their bodies to a crisp. They're going to turn into a mineral composite and fall right back up on the earth. Remember Lot's wife? And that's my closing message. You're listening to Shepherd's Call. This is Pastor Buddy. My time is always too early to leave. I enjoy it. I just get warmed up in the ministry. I just wish I had 3 or 4 hours and I could afford it. If you'd like to help us tonight, won't you write Pastor Buddy? Let me take your letters. I don't publicize your letters. I don't put you on a mailing list. I reveal your name to anyone. Matter of fact, I take your letters and I burn them, offer them up in a fire. Fire is a transcendent connector to the inner dimension. Our God is a consuming fire. So I burn those as a tribute in memory. And offer them to Yahweh. Yahweh remembers everything that you do. Every deed that you do is recorded. And I offer them to him. And the prayers that come up are accepted from the altar down here upon earth to the altar in heaven, where he gathers the prayers of the righteous that come up to him in a doctrinal acceptance way. And it was an old-fashioned altar that I worship on. If you'd like information on how to build an altar, write me tonight. This is Pastor Buddy. You can write me, Post Office Box, 2284 New Tazewell, Tennessee. That's Pastor Buddy, Post Office Box 2284 New Tazewell, Tennessee. The zip 36 37824. That's 37824 at Post Office Box 2284, New Tazewell, Tennessee. Now, if you'd like to call me, I'm live. This is the 24th day of October. And we're live directly on WWCR around the world, the mighty voice. If you're picking up something tonight and you'd like to give me a call, and if the line's busy, please call back. Leave your name and telephone number. I'll call you back. Your number will be kept private. It will not be revealed to anyone. I don't give out numbers or names to anyone. Praise Yahweh. So you can call me tonight. Area code 423-626-2172. Now, if you'd like to email me, you have computer capabilities. We got a website I could send to you. Just email me at buddy1, it's lowercase, B-U-D-D-Y, buddy1 at CenturyTel, CenturyTel.net. That's buddy1 at CenturyTel.net. Well, ladies and gentlemen, I'll see you on down the line, praise Yahweh, when the voice of Yahweh's sheep begin to blate in the fields of Mount Zion, when we are gathered together in the last days, and when the holy city, New Jerusalem, is coming down out of heaven. We'll see the glory. We'll see the 12 tribes' entrance gates and all those that whose names are on the Lamb's book. He'll say, come, blessed of my Father, enter into the joy that was prepared for you from the foundation of the world. You're my sheep. Your name was collected, written before the foundation of the world, and they remain here on the book that I've got in my hand. It's a little book with a few names. Make sure your name is on it. I'll see you next Sunday night on WWCR 5070 at 8 o'clock on Sunday night, every Sunday night, Pastor Buddy and the Shepherd's Call. Yahweh bless you. For victory, man, we take our stand and never die or die.
Down 1,000 feet.